Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Here we go. Hour 3 of Cofield and Company. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk is on the way this hour. We got a lot of college football to get into with the transfer portal, some more UNLV stuff. We were just talking about making cookies, food poisoning, and tall people. I want to build on the tall person thing. Jasper Ribalda was a player for La Sierra. This is an NAIA school in Riverside, California. Tim Neverett did the research. Nice job. He said Jasper's parents, he's 7'3". His parents are 7 foot and 6'7". The mom's 6'7". The dad's 7 foot. I walked in the back after the game. I've never seen anything like it. These are like the tallest people in a family. It's insane. I think the dad was closer to 7'2".
I saw them.
And the mom was every bit of 6'6".
Yeah, they're a...
it's incredible.
It was a large crew. It was no mistaking who the family was.
Oh my God.
Walked into the arena last night. And I was excited to see him play because I had actually looked at a lot of his numbers and read a lot of accounts of some of the games early in the season. It's clear why he's playing at that level. He's very good at that level. They run the offense to him, and he throws a lot of passes and stuff like that, but it just can't work against the Rebels.
We're going to bring in Miles Simmons here in a second. I think we're going to get him up on our Clean Feed app. Miles, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
We're good. We were just talking about tall people, and actually, to set this up, I was asking – well, I'll set it up again. I don't know if you heard. Last night, this NAIA school that played UNLV had a 7'3 kid. We heard about the family. The dad's 7 feet tall. The mom's 6'7". You are how tall? Are you a 6 footer?
Yes, I am. I'm 6 feet even.
So no, that's what I said.
So are you really 5'11 and a half?
I'm 6 feet even. And you know what? If it says that on a dating app, that's what I'm going to keep going with. So, you know, not that I'm dating anymore, but it did. So, yeah.
All right. Do me a favor. I think your mic setting might be off. If you might want to just check on it. This is working, but I think you can sound better.
Okay.
I'll just tell you.
His voice?
No. I'll just tell you, when I saw that family, and it's nothing against them. It's just that's incredible, the height. I would not want to be a child in that family. I don't think I'd want to be. I'm not tall. I don't think I'd want to be more than 6'5". I think after 6'5", life gets really tough. What about you?
I probably would not want to be more than 6'5" either.
Yeah.
I think that, 6'4" probably actually is the limit for where I would want to be.
Okay.
You know? I flew home from Cleveland last night.
Yep.
And, you know, I am fortunate enough that I fly enough that I have status on my chosen airline, so I get to upgrade to Economy Plus when I check in. But if I wasn't able to do that, and, you know, like you got to spend $84 or plus just to be comfortable on a plane, that stinks. And if you are taller than 6'4", I don't even think you can be comfortable in Economy Plus. So that, I guess, is my mentality with it.
Wait, we can dive down a rabbit hole here. But if you're flying with other people, do they also get upgraded? And if they don't, are you making them stay in the back?
They do also get upgraded.
Okay.
And, you know, it's fortunate that I was only flying with one other person, because if it becomes more than that, then yes, that could become a problem. It also becomes a problem, like, if, say, you're using points to for a flight and that other person doesn't have the points. So say, you know, you go to Vegas for a concert, and then on the way home, you get a complimentary upgrade to first class and the other person doesn't. That's a tough one.
Wait.
That's a tough one.
Do you take it or do you give up the seat?
Oh, I took it. It was
Wow. That's a man's man right there.
Wow.
Had it been longer than 45 minutes, right? Take off the touchdown, I wouldn't have. I would have done something and made that right. But at that point I said, you know what, I want 2 free drinks. I do. I know.
Was your over under 4.5 flights this last week?
Oh God, dude! It was 6 total.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but for the entire trip, it was 6. And you know, going from Victoria, Vancouver Island, aka Victoria, in you know, British Columbia, Canada to Cleveland is not really for the faint of heart, because that took 3 flights. Oof. So, you know, it was worth it. And you know what? We were fortunate that there was no bad weather in like Denver or anywhere else. But yeah, or Cleveland for that matter. But yeah, that okay. could have ended up in disaster, and it fortunately was not.
You've launched into a lot of the need for follow-ups. Why British Columbia?
That's where my girlfriend's family has family. Okay. So,
how long have you been going together?
Going together?
A little over 50? Yeah, I know. My God.
How long have
We're
you been,
on steady,
How
see?
Long have you been steady? When did you give your devotion ring? Just over a year. And you visited both families?
Yeah. That's the step we took. We lived together. You know, we've lived together for several months now. So
it's
the natural progression of things.
How many dates did you go on before you spent, say, more than $300 on a date?
Wow. I think first.
I still don't know that I have.
Yeah, exactly.
On one date?
I have a friend coming to town. Adam's friends with him as well. And he told me, hey, I'm back in town. I've got my lady friend with me. I think they're less than 4 months in. And he said, we're going to Backstreet Boys on New Year's Eve. I looked up the prices. I'm like, I'm 15 years in. I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
Because I think he was gently nudging me like, hey, you guys should come along. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing $750 to $1,000 for a concert, brother.
No. Yeah, that's too much. I mean, I think the most I spent on a date was probably on her birthday. And that was, and you know, Christmas gifts probably spent around that, you know, for that. But yeah, no, that's not something I've done. I ain't got to like that yet.
Our our friend lives life. I'm actually very jealous of him. He lives life.
I don't think it's his money either.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that also works. Hey, that's even better.
Well, yeah, I think it's never mind. It's fine. You might be
listening.
I just don't think I don't think there's a safety net. I think he's like, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Screw it. I'm going to spend money.
All right.
I admire it. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
I should just go to freaking concerts. And hey, if I don't have any money 6 months from now, then I have no money. But sure, I can't operate that way. Can't operate.
No, I can't really either. But you know, I operate in other ways.
And I'll admit, as I've gotten older, I've gotten like more conservative, more composed. Adam has been around me for like 15, 18 years doing radio shows. Maybe I could be more cantankerous. Maybe I would flip out if there were issues. Which brings us to my favorite segue. I would love to storm out of work on any given day, like I don't know, 20 times a year, and rant and rave, but I can't. Because I'm not Max Crosby. So give me your take on everything that happened with Max this weekend. And I understand the Raiders can be really frustrating to be around. And yeah, tanking is just, I keep using the word, I think it's incorrect, but whatever. Antithetical to like what you do as a football player. But you know, a lot of us have jobs where we're like, but we can't do it. But Max did it, and I don't think it was a good look.
Well, I don't necessarily think it was a good look either. And, you know, whenever you take issues that could be solved in-house, out of house, that can become a real big problem. Like, I think, you know, when you decide to storm out effectively, right? And, you know, the head coach who, I mean, just these Pete Carroll press conferences, Adam, I know you're in them, but it's just like, I watch them and you're just like, oh my gosh, man, this is terrible. And he's got to speak for you and the organization and all these different things. And it just makes everything more uncomfortable than it probably has to be. I think the point Max Crosby is trying to make by going through the media and going to guys like Jay Glazer and things like that is that, hey, you know, I don't care what our record is. I'm a football player. I want to play. And it's similar in some ways to what Joe Burrow has said, right? Coming back from his torn ligaments in his foot. And he wants to play, even though Cincinnati is eliminated, and he still will play. And that's actually good for Myles Garrett because it means he'll probably get the all-time sack record this week. But, you know, football players play football. So that's what he wants to do. And I think him being shut down is saying, like, hey, I don't need you guys to speak for me and speak for my health. However, it is the Raiders' job to make sure that if he does need some sort of off-season procedure, that he doesn't do any further damage to himself. And, you know, you can call it tanking, you can call it whatever you want. It's not like the Raiders were winning games with Max Crosby on the field anyway. Yeah. So I just feel like you want to keep your best players as healthy as possible. You want to give your best players as much lead time into next season as possible. I get it from the Raiders' standpoint. I get Max Crosby being upset about it. I don't think I agree with you, Steve, that it's not the best look when you then go to the media and you basically try to undress the franchise. And I don't know if it's in an attempt to say, hey, I want to be traded in the offseason or what, but it's certainly not the best look from Crosby, even if I understand why he's doing it.
Is it a good look to then go post in your Instagram videos of you playing basketball and jumping on a trampoline?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's trying to undress the franchise. Yeah. And it's like, what good is it going to do, right? I mean, does it really make Max Crosby look better or look, quote-unquote, healthy if he's doing those things? He's saying, yeah, I'm capable of playing. I don't think anybody with the Raiders would disagree that he's capable of playing, but is it a smart thing? Is it the most pertinent thing for his long-term health for him to be playing in these, you know, BS games at the end of a horrid season? I get why the franchise is like, no, we're not going to do that with you. And so, unless he is really trying to force his way.
Uh-oh. They flipped the switch in the back on the internet.
Max Crosby did it.
Well, yeah, Matt, that's could have been Jim Gray.
Shut up, Miles. I'm not going to hear from you.
Allies in this case. We'll get Miles back here in just a second. So everything's going to be copacetic the rest of the way. What do you think? Oh, is Miles back with
us?
There you are. Yes, sorry, Miles. You got cut out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with my internet. I apologize. It's between ours. The Raiders. Actually, I'm sorry. What was your question, Steve?
Well, no, you answered it. We had most of it. We've overheard it. But I guess my question to Max, and he just won't answer this because he just thinks you're being obnoxious or whatever. But like, you complain every year about not being good, but then you complain that you're going to tank. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Yes. Well, and that's the thing, too, with, like, I think about Myles Garrett, right, where he complained. He said he wanted to be traded. He's like, I don't want to go from Cleveland to Canton. That's not the goal. I want to win championships, da-da-da-da-da. And basically, Jimmy Haslam and the Browns are like, okay, well, how much will it take to get you to shut up? And the answer was $40 million a year. And so then, like, that's what we have here. And to Myles Garrett's credit, he has gone out and put up the best season of his career. And it's a shame that the Browns are so crappy, because if the Browns had opponents in known passing situations more often, like if they even had an average offense, the Myles Garrett might have damn near 30 sacks by now. But that's not where the Browns are, and so that's not where he is. And I think that's the shame of it all, is that Myles Garrett could be that much better. If you're Max Crosby and you want to make this point and you want to take this stand, then stand on business in the offseason. Say you're not showing up, trade me, because this is not something I ever want to go through again. And if he does that, then fine. But like, that's you can't just keep having it both ways here.
You mentioned the name of Joe Burrow. I will tie in Lamar Jackson. And there's Lamar Jackson still has something to play for this year, potentially. But are Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson available this offseason?
Lamar Jackson, I would think probably, especially if he doesn't play this week. I think that there is something to the smoke from – there's a column out of Baltimore, and I can't remember exactly which outlet it was in, but – it basically detailing some of the frustrations that the Ravens organization has with Jackson. I think that there is something to that. I really do. Because you think about what the Ravens went through just to get Lamar Jackson signed to his long-term deal, right? That's unusual for somebody who is a franchise quarterback, and they wanted to get him signed well before he actually ended up being signed. And I think it was very frustrating for them as a franchise to go through all of that when everybody and their mother in that organization said, hey, we love Lamar Jackson. We want Lamar Jackson to be here. So that, I think, was frustrating for them. Now, you look at it from the Joe Burrow standpoint of it all. I think that Cincinnati's not going to make changes to their coaching staff. I don't think they're going to make any changes to their front office. Oh, the Brown family's cheap. So with that, yeah, I think that eventually, if it's not this offseason, the next offseason, Joe Burrow is going to probably more quietly than some will be like, hey, I want out. And at that point, it's going to be a really interesting arms race. because who is going to get Joe Burrow and who is going to secure his future? If he's not having fun playing football and like all this stuff, and he said it was overblown and all, but like, dude, you're sitting at the podium talking about this. Like, we're quoting you. Like, everybody's watching you. So this is not something that is made up. And I think that Burrow has a lot of frustrations, and I think that he should.
I think you were going somewhere. I want to go more on Lamar Jackson, but go ahead. Where are you going to go?
I was
going to
say Crosby for Lamar?
No. No.
Why?
No, that's this is where I wanted to go. Lamar Jackson is owed $75 million a year the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What are you trading for him? This is a salary dump.
Oh. I mean, he's at least worth two ones. But Steve, he's a two-time MVP, man, and arguably should have had a third last year, right?
He should have last year.
Mike Preston, a columnist in Baltimore, just wrote, maybe at the behest of the Ravens organization, I don't know what happened there, but he's writing that basically Lamar is a child inside of an adult body. He's sleeping through meetings. They don't have, according to this writer, they don't have morning practices. The whole organization has to practice in the afternoon, even if they want to practice in the morning, because they're like, Lamar's going to stay up all night. He might be whatever. He's hanging out. He's eating out. He's playing video games. He ain't getting up in the morning, so we got to adjust everything. That's two for – and I – listen, I love Lamar Jackson. Like, he is one of my favorite players. But when I saw some of that, I'm like, this is lunacy. I got to trade two ones to get that?
Yes. Yes, you do. Because of what he is capable of doing on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and whatever day of the week they decide to play. Like that – and, you know, the – the issues that he has with communication, all these different things, that is a problem. But if you're an organization, say the Miami Dolphins, right? And the rumor is that Lamar Jackson would like to go back to South Florida. You're telling me as the Miami Dolphins, you wouldn't trade for Lamar Jackson, even if it took two ones? I believe you would. I believe you would.
Crosby for Lamar. Let's go.
I don't know if Lamar Jackson wants to come to Las Vegas. And if you're not going to get interested, Lamar Jackson, then like, that's not. I don't know how great of a deal an idea that is.
Are you getting focused, Lamar Jackson, in South Florida?
I don't know.
Right. That's the challenge. Here.
I don't know. I really don't know. Because does being home give him more distractions, or does it, you know, allow him to focus more? I don't know. It depends. I don't know Lamar Jackson that well. I don't think anybody in media really knows Lamar Jackson that well to be able to answer that question.
On the game last night, my confidence in what I thought was maybe the most rock solid team is really waning with the Rams.
Yeah, I will confess that I was on a plane for, you know, the vast majority of that game. So I saw about the last like 40 seconds of it after we landed at LAX and I could finally access my YouTube TV. But I'm really disappointed in the job that Sean McVay has done this season. You know, I think that he waited far too long to fire Chase Blackburn, a special teams coordinator. I don't really understand why that took so long. And, you know, I understand that you can have confidence in your guys, but when your special teams is losing you games on a week-to-week basis sometimes, you know, it's you have to do something a little more drastic than when he finally decided to do it after special teams cost you really your shot at the number one seed in the conference. And then to have an extra day coming off of your Thursday night game, right, to play Monday, and I know you're going against – your former defensive coordinator who won the Super Bowl with you and probably knows you as a coach as well as anybody. I get that. I get that Kirk Cousins is also somebody who knows you. Like, there are so many connections between the Rams staff and the Falcons staff. But you got to have your team ready to go, man. To go down 21-0 to the Falcons is just extraordinarily disappointing. And so that's why the Rams are going to be playing their starters in a get-right game against Arizona on Sunday. I mean, it should not be a get-right game. Like they were up 16 over the Seahawks on the road with about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Right? That's what they've done the last 2 weeks is not acceptable. And I think that Sean McVay deserves a lot of criticism for it. And I am somebody who loves Sean McVay, right? Like, he's one of the people who has made my career. But that team is too good, or should be too good, to be as disappointing as it's been over the last 2 weeks with these losses.
I know they have a lot of things to worry about between now and then, because they will be in the playoffs and they are expected to make a run, the Rams. But if this is it for Stafford, with all the picks that they have, would they be one of the teams in the market for Burrow?
Absolutely, yes. 100%. Yes. Yes. And I think Burrow, if I'm Joe Burrow, where the hell else would I rather be than Los Angeles with Sean McVay? Are you kidding me? Like, they have a, you know, a Sean McVay, somebody who was on his staff with Zach Taylor. And like, that was, you know, when Zach Taylor got hired in 2019, it was like anybody that had ever had a handshake with Sean McVay got a head coaching job. I'm surprised I didn't get one, but like that is a difference between Zach Taylor and Sean McVay. And I think, especially with the way Zach Taylor's gone about, you know, coaching the defense or choosing the person to coach defense over the last couple of years, that I don't know how Cincinnati truly gets better until they really address that. And, you know, Zach Taylor with going with Al Golden and then the defense being the same, if not worse, is just, that should be really, really, really disappointing if you're Joe Burrow.
I don't want to spiral out too much, but did you watch the Ed Orgeron story about recruiting Joe Burrow?
No, I have not seen that, actually.
It's fantastic. Go watch it at some
point.
I'm sure. It's not long, but it's a great story. One of the things he said, he kind of insinuated without saying it, that like when Joe Burrow first got to LSU, he didn't really like him for like the first 24 hours. And he's like, well, this guy's arrogant or whatever. And then he said they sat in a meeting and Orgeron goes, oh, wait, this guy's just smarter than all of us. This isn't good. Like, he's just too smart. And I say that because I would love that Joe Burrow and Sean McVay to like unite minds and try to figure out what to do. Like, that would be a fantastic story to follow.
I agree with you. And I think it would be really certainly interesting to watch him throw to Puka Nacua, right? I mean, I think we've seen the kinds of things that he's been able to do with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and all that. And of course, Justin Jefferson in college going back to the LSU days. But him, a Puka Nacua type, you know, if Devontae Adams is still around, you know, this offseason, if Stafford and then all that, like that, that's a pretty fun combination, I would think, to watch. And the way the Rams have been able to protect their quarterbacks has certainly been better than the way that Cincinnati has with Joe Burrow historically. I mean, Joe Burrow saw it. We saw it firsthand with Joe Burrow in the Super Bowl going up against the Los Angeles Rams, you know, it was several years ago, but still. So, yeah, I would love to see that too.
Who's the best team right now?
God, I think it's the Seahawks. I think the way they play defense is incredible, you know, and as we say, you know, in the playoffs, you pack your defense, pack your run game. But I've been so impressed with the way Seattle plays defense all season. I think they've really grown with Mike McDonald in his second year there. And I think that's really admirable. The problem I have with Seattle is Sam Darnold, and he's a liability, man. And like, I don't have the confidence that Sam Darnold's not going to, you know, get himself into a game-changing, game-crushing turnover, especially against teams that have a decent pass rush. Like, you think about Sam Darnold going against Philadelphia. Are you really going to be confident in Sam Darnold in that endeavor? I'm just not. You know, so that I think is what the problem is going to be. If Seattle has the number one overall seed, it's certainly going to work in their favor, but I don't know if they're going to get that. I think that they should beat San Francisco on Saturday night, because San Francisco's pass rush just is not there. And we really saw that, I think, against Chicago and the way Chicago was able to kind of go up and down the field in certain situations. You know, Robert Saleh is not somebody that loved blitzing, but he has to right now because guys like Nick Bosa are out, right? Fred Warner and the way he can pilot that defense is not there. So that's why I feel like Seattle is going to get that number one seed. And I think that because their defense is so good and their offense can get by, they probably are the best team in football right now.
Miles Simmons on ESPN Las Vegas. Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. You know, I like to stalk you on Twitter. This one's a weird one because you have no, I don't think, any relation to this. I saw an ad on your Twitter feed and it was for Cameo, and it got me thinking, do we all know someone that we work with who would absolutely do Cameo and be like, yeah, people want to hear from me on their birthday?
Yes.
Do you know someone, Miles?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the obvious. Is Florio the kind of guy who would be like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll be Mike Florio for this, my big fan.
You know, I bet he would. I don't think he does, but I hate, I, you know, I don't
could you
mean
do it?
This to sound like it was, it, it sounds, but, you know, Fleury is the kind of guy that would do it. I don't know if I would do it.
I think it's so
nobody,
crazy.
I don't, I'm not confident that anybody would want to hear from me. So I would just be, you know,
there's always someone.
I'd be selling like $5 things and like nobody would do it. And that just feels embarrassing to me. So I wouldn't do it.
According to AI, yes, Mike Florio is on Cameo. Oh, this is the other Mike Florio, though. The fantasy analyst.
Oh, Michael F. Florio?
Michael F. Florio.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, big fantasy guy. People want shout outs when they win or lose in fantasy. Yeah, I can see that.
Miles, what are you doing for New Year's tomorrow? Got big plans?
Not too much, man. Yeah, I don't know. We're still figuring that out since, you know.
Still figuring it out.
Yesterday. I know. Well, hey, man, when you go to two different locations,
see point,
two
actually.
Different families for Christmas, man, my gosh. Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. I just bought some Prosecco at Trader Joe's before I came here, so at least we'll have that.
Should I get you a Michael F. Florio New Year's cameo?
Good gift.
You should get it to me, but have it addressed to the other Mike Florio.
That'd be great, actually.
Miles, you're awesome. Thanks for playing along. We're goofballs. We appreciate your time. We'll see you, buddy.
All right. Hey, good to talk to you, Adam. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thanks, man. See you.
Back on the show here and there. Peacock and Pro Football Talk. Miles Simmons. Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter.
I'll get Michael Florio to roast you.
That cameo thing to me is so freaky. I had someone I know tell me, my husband is a massive fan of your show. He loves you. His birthday's today. Can you just record a message on my phone?
No way somebody did that.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, it's Steve. Happy birthday. I don't have anything. I can't amp up stupid radio yelling guy.
$25?
I charge nothing. Because I as I was doing it, I'm like, this is terrible. Like, he doesn't want to see this. He's going to hate me now.
No, of course. There's no way anybody wants that for their birthday. That might be
this
the worst.
This is a business that's been around for a long time.
It might be the worst gift I've ever heard of in my life.
I guarantee there are people out there who would want a cameo from you. You know that.
There's no way that's
There's
true.
Been people who come up to remotes and started talking to you, and they're like, they're freaking in awe. They love you.
I don't think that's true. But even if that was the case, nobody would ever give the gift of me saying hi to somebody else for a holiday.
I mean, I think you're onto something. It is kind of a funny gift.
It's hilarious.
Especially if someone like barely knows. If someone hates you.
Should I go on Cameo for free? I'll just do it.
And see if you can get anything.
Yeah, see if somebody will
drum up any business.
Somebody will hire me.
Do it. I wonder if there's a minimum. Is there like a $5 minimum? Dollar?
I'll just do it.
It's not even worth Cameo. Like the apps.
Mike.
Operations are like, we're not doing it for a dollar.
Michael F. Florio was $25 plus.
So really?
It starts at $25.
I'm not really aware of him.
Oh, yeah. He does
people
a lot of
love, I'll tell you what. People love fantasy football. You know what? On the way back, speaking of that, I got a question for you. Did you win any of your fantasy football leagues? Yesterday was really interesting.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Bowl games tonight before the CFP is back underway with the Elite Eight tomorrow. We'll have that game, Miami and Ohio State, right here on ESPN Las Vegas. We're going to go early tomorrow, 2 to 5. We will be here on New Year's Eve. Glad to be doing it. That's another one I wanted to do earlier about comparing like Max Crosby flipping out because he doesn't get to do everything he wants to do at work. I'm like, I want to work almost every holiday. But guess what? That's not policy here. Like, you have to take off.
I don't need
so
you
I should
to
just storm off and all pissed off. Like, ah! Like, no, sometimes you got to do what the bosses say you got to do. And if it's the best thing for the organization, Max and Jim, then he's got to sit.
I'm going to need you to just keep talking because I'm trying to decide which cameo to get for you.
Don't get a cameo. It's not. Don't. We're just talking about the cameo. These people know what they are. They're so old now.
Rob Dibble?
No, thank you.
You sure?
I've had a conversation with Rob. I think he came on one time when Chrissy was here because Chrissy had produced for Rob. That was a blast from the past. We haven't talked about Chrissy in a while.
True. Doug Gottlieb?
Did you win any of your fantasy football leagues? I'm just going to move on.
I did.
You did?
It was a good year.
Really?
A really good year.
Man, I was in one league that was pretty high stakes money. I didn't put up the money, but I was the advisor. We got freaking smoked. just couldn't close it out the last week.
It was I obviously have a lot of leagues. I was trying to see if
you got crushed by how many teams had Bijan Robinson?
Couple. Unfortunately, my biggest one that did was a Week 16 championship. I still won it, but I would have liked to have him yesterday. Yeah. I beat him yesterday.
Wow.
Let's see. I mean, these are all my Yahoo ones. They're third, first, fourth, second, first.
Damn. All with a little bit of investment?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
I'll do free ones.
81 total?
Yeah, a lot of them are best ball. Like, a lot of them are like $2 and $5 best ball, so you just kind of see what
how many series? I mean, how many like real leagues? 25?
More? 19.
19, okay. Yeah. Still a lot.
And I think I'm going to win 8.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Nothing worse and more infuriating than guys talking fantasy football on Sports Talk Radio.
I don't know. I actually listen to a fantasy.
I know you do. Except for the inane pablum spewed by, one, college football coaches who don't know what to do with themselves except violate like every rule of decorum to make sure their teams are good and beg for money and spend money and steal other teams' players. Meanwhile, bitching publicly that they hate it. But even worse than that is what's going on right now in college basketball, because there is a crew of older coaches who I think got beat to the punch on something I know they would all do. And that is signing these international players or guys who didn't make the NBA, who got drafted. Like Baylor signed a 7-footer. I think you say his last name, Nanji. He's going to play here. And now we got to listen to lectures from John Calipari and Tom Izzo. Hey, fellas, remember the days, say, 15 and 20 years ago when you guys allegedly had a bankroll and bought your team? That was out of control and infuriating as well. And we needed rules. But guess what? You did whatever the hell you wanted. Like, you reinvented the wheel. Yeah, I was thinking of Izzo. I was thinking back to when UNLV got Anthony Bennett. And Anthony Bennett was down to... No, check that. Wrong guy. Because there's many from UNLV.
Sure.
When they got Brandon McCoy. And some of the top competitors against them were Oregon and Michigan State. And I bet you they were offering nothing. No money. Nothing. When NIL back then was illegal. And now I get to listen to Tom Izzo and John Calipari lecture us on the goodness and the purity and the integrity of college basketball. Going out the window, Tom Izzo says the other day, I got a call in to Scott Drew. What do you mean you got a call in? If you're Scott Drew, you're like, hey, Tom, how many times you beat me out for a player the last 10 years because of your bankroll versus mine? Now, Baylor can pay a lot.
Sure.
But what is this sanctimonious... I understand it's frustrating. There's nothing that can be done. Sending out this message in the media is going to do what for the NCAA? And if you don't understand the situation, are you just dumb? Are you trying to be ignorant? Is this a coy move? We know what's happening. The NCAA can't do anything until these seasons are over, and then they have to figure out a way how they're either going to reorganize this thing so they don't get slaughtered in every courtroom in America. They have no fights that they can win in the courts. I love this. Good. There's got to be a rule against this. Are you going to pay the attorney fees? Are you going to use some of your salary to fight the battle for what you think is right? Because you ain't going to win in the courts.
Will you agree that you go to jail if we go back to the old way and you're still paying players?
Right.
Because you will still cheat.
I mean, this is like Calipari, like a 7-minute diatribe on it. It's like, what are we doing?
Included in it, he was doing a whole case that we're... You know, this is just at the expense of high school athletes and aren't going to get the opportunity anymore because you're bringing NBA guys in to play college basketball. And he said, nobody's even going to recruit these guys anymore. Well, I will because I'm a moron and I just care about the kids. Like, what? Come on, man. Nobody's believing. Well, some people are believing it, but nobody should if you're rational. You should understand what it really is. They missed the way that they missed when they were able to cheat. Nobody else was.
Yep. That's the most frustrating part for all of them.
Yeah.
That now there's money everywhere and everyone can do it. And there's more competition. Now they can't compete at the highest level for every single player, but they can grab players. And they're all, and these places that have money are also an outlet so that you can't torture a kid, control his life where he has no options and can't move on. Now they can move on. Oh, I have to act like an adult now. I can't act like a freaking bully, you know, and beat them up verbally because where are they going to go? I have their rights. I'll leave. No one wants to be treated like that.
Yeah.
It's, be an adult. Learn how to communicate. You don't have to scream at everyone.
It's a pretty crazy system, the way that it's set up, but at the same time, like, everybody's just trying to figure it out.
You know what? I'm rooting.
Stop complaining.
I hope Scott Drew and Baylor win the national championship. I hope this guy, Nanji, averages 25. I hope he's Will Chamberlain. I hope their heads explode. And then you watch this offseason, they'll all be trying to do it. But they can't win in court because they were all part of a piggish system that violated the rights of these kids who are employees. And now you're paying the price. Now you're frustrated. Well,
yeah.
You know who's frustrated for the longest time? The kids. Yeah. Not all of them, because they didn't know any better.
And other coaches that were trying to do it right.
And other coaches who were trying to do it right or didn't have the funding or knew they couldn't cheat because the NCAA would go after them. Like in Vegas. Like with Tark. All right? Michigan State cheats. Let's go get Tark.
Exactly. And the NCAA, like, they're in a really tough spot because
they're screwed.
There's no way to make rules.
Nope.
It's the hay is out of the barn. Is that the expression?
The only way, and we're going to address this tomorrow. Justin Watkins will be in. And by the way, we're going to be on 2-5 tomorrow before the Miami-Ohio State game. One of the ways to remedy this is they're going to be employees and you're going to have to collectively bargain. But you know they bristle against that. That's the way to do it. And then guess what the courts do? The courts do not get involved in those situations.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, you negotiated. Like, work it out.
It's between you.
Yep. We're not setting precedent in the courts. But right now they will because people are like, hey, my work rights are being violated. I mean, everyone out there, you wouldn't want protection or you don't want the protection. You want it used and abused.
Yep.
And you know, have no right to take it to the courts. It's nuts.
And I don't think any of us can suggest the right answers. There's not really right answers. It's the mission is to figure out the best of the wrong answers, basically. But you're right. It until there is collective bargaining. And by the way, how do you even do that when there's so many different levels? And you're gonna, you know, this level school can pay this, and this level school can pay this. Well, what if one of the schools down on the bottom all of a sudden wants to go to the top? Are they allowed to then, like, how are you going to collectively bargain that? Like, there's a lot of different things that are going to have to happen.
I mostly like John Calipari. He gets a little too full of himself sometimes. I did think a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think you were around. I'm not even sure that I really addressed this. That kid, Chad Baker Mazzara. Do you remember he started? Well, he had a stint. He didn't start there, but he had a stint at San Diego State, and he's a loose cannon.
Yeah.
He's also a really old guy now. He's been around forever. He's got an extra year of eligibility. He's like 25 years old. He's playing for USC, by the way. Averaging 21 points a game, although dinged up right now. Well, no, he actually played on the 21st. Calipari started joking about that kid. Like, how is he playing college basketball? He made some reference to, like, how old he is and he's got to be married with kids. And I was like, now the players are just open season for your stupid jokes? Like, now we're just going to insult them? Like, not to be ageist, but like, hey, Cal, there's a lot of guys out there who are really good young coaches who'd like to freaking break through, but you'll never retire. You're going to coach until you're 80 years old. How about you move on?
Yeah, and I think the coaches, if they could have their way, could have it back and they're not being emotional and screaming, would not be calling out individual kids.
No, it's stupid.
It seems counterproductive.
Yep. All right, I'll give you the next case on what's going on around college football. Did you see that Iowa State was propped up as like some poor situation? Poor Iowa State.
Couldn't afford to keep their coach.
One tweet. 30 days ago, Iowa State played Oklahoma State. Since then, Oklahoma State's lost 43 players to the portal. Iowa State has lost 42! Two highest counts in the country. Then I saw retweets of a tweet about Iowa State from both Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis. I'm like, what are these guys doing? Did you see this?
No.
There's an account, and I will give it publicity because I think it is going to do well and blow up, but I understand why. It's called CFP Talk Daily. Tweet came out backing the play at Iowa State because now they have 16 players left after Matt Campbell left, and all the players are going into the portal. And it basically states the case that, hey, Iowa State's been really solid over the years. This is a damn shame. The game is getting ruined. Poor Iowa State. And my take on it is, I don't care about Iowa State. Times change. Iowa State didn't care about UNLV when it upped the bids on Rashad Vaughn. Didn't care when it stole T.J. Otzelberger. Iowa State didn't give a damn about anyone. Now it can't compete financially. Oh, well. What do we all say? Pick them up. Grab the bootstraps. Oh, now you want welfare in Iowa? You want collegiate sports welfare? No.
Sure.
No. Find a way. It's capitalism. Find a way to get your programs funded. It was funny. I thought of this a lot today. I was listening to times have changed, right? So think about the biggest backers of Iowa State football in the past and over the years. This is farm country, right? I was listening to the Illinois broadcast of the college football game today, and right now it's 28-27. They're down with 2 minutes left. And, man, ad after ad was like this was the local network. Tractors, the Farm Bureau, and I'm like, dang, how are they going to compete? Now, Illinois has some money because they've got a good alumni base, but, like, that's their advertising. Well, you guys all wanted to take all the TV money. TV doesn't care about Champaign, Illinois, or Ames, Iowa, or you name it, Lincoln, Nebraska. They don't care. But you guys took the money without, like, realizing consequences. Like, wait, we're going to be on the outside looking in here. And now they are. So I don't feel bad for Iowa State.
No. No, they thought they were going to be part of the haves, so they loved it. And now if they're not on that end, now it's the worst thing in the world.
What was us?
Yeah, it was great as long as they were going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it's great as long as you're bringing in the guys, not losing them.
The CFP Talk Daily is a Twitter handle not backed. It is from Kalshi. The prediction markets,
okay.
I can't guarantee it. I bet you there's a reason Ted Cruz and Ron DeSantis, first of all, it's performative that they talked about it, but I bet you there's a reason that somehow they found out about this via Kalshi.
Of course.
And the first thing I thought of was, wait, Ted Cruz is going to fix the problem, but he won't even go to Texas A&M and Texas in his own state and go, you guys are pigs, you're ruined, but stop spending all this money. Wait, the cap's $20 million on NIL. You're going to spend 50? Texas Tech, stop spending 52. You think Ron DeSantis passed legislation in your own states? That'll start to fix it. You do right in your own state. They ain't going to do that because it's all performative.
Right, and you're going to also make rules that will hold them back when they're going to be the
absolutely
ones spending
not.
The most? No, of course not.
You think any politician in Texas is going to buck Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Texas, I mean, hell, Houston now?
No.
It ain't going to happen.
Certainly not.
Mess with SMU? No freaking shot. Mess with TCU? No way.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Grab Bag time. Thanks to James for producing the show today, Adam Hill for co-hosting, Miles Simmons on the show, RJ Clifford on the show, Ray Cleaver from William Hill.
Got some cameos to order.
Please stop watching. You watch them during the break, and my skin was crawling. They're terrible. You hear anything on Jet Thomas, the running back for UNLV, who is sort of committed as well to sticking around?
Football questions only.
Yeah. Was that face-to-face or actually on social?
Social.
I saw that on social. Yeah, I still think there's a healthy threat out there. I don't know how much people are processing this, and there's not a lot of guys left, but I don't know what Colorado's NIL budget is, but I would think Brennan Marion would probably want him.
Yeah.
So I think that's a legit threat.
I would think so.
The rest of the squad, not sure with Brennan Marion. I'm also not sure what kids think of Brennan Marion.
Yeah.
Because they all saw the way he exited. But I think Brennan Marion would be motivated to grab some players. I don't think he was happy with UNLV when he left at all.
I don't think so.
In fact, we could hear him screaming on the phone at someone or with someone.
I don't think
at the Dan Mullen press conference, which was really weird.
I don't think you would feel.
Who's your source on that? Me.
I don't think it would feel terrible if he took some guys.
And yet, just like Calandria, Jet is 5'9", 190 on a good day. They load managed this year. He was awesome. He had over 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns. But he's probably a long shot to play in the NFL. And, if you're going to get, $600,000 or $700,000 from a Power 4 school, Colorado wouldn't be my choice.
No.
But I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't either. I don't blame any kids for taking advantage of their opportunities, especially non-NFL guys.
Well, you're unique. Aren't you, as a columnist, aren't you supposed to be sort of like athlete hating and get fans all riled up and stir the pot? What's wrong with you?
I guess. If you want me to get worked up at somebody and scream about something, then just pay me $10.
Buy Adam Hill's cameo. He's signing up, baby. He's getting fired up to do it. You want it.